I understand that you want to come to study with us. I don't know their names, I don't know anything about them. In fact, the pastor's mother at church in South Union came up to me, and Pat came, came up to me and said, I have two very good friends that live in Mooresville that have heard about your classes. And are you still teaching on Thursdays? So, absolutely. So she said, well, I'll tell them because they want to come. They want to come. Is it the same place? Yes, it is. It's in the TP there. so I said, okay.
I'll tell them. Great.
And so I don't know if they're going to come today or next week or just when. So anyway, let's get started. And someone, when I ask this, everybody's hands go up. So,
I'll do it. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here. It's the cold weather and just the ability, the blessing that we have, Lord, we can get out, travel in this, and be here and have more place to study. We're grateful for that. But we're grateful to have a mom to lead us through this lesson. We ask that the Spirit with us guide him, open our hearts and our minds, and we may understand. And Lord, we know that there's a lot of worldly concerns going on, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on here locally, and even what's happening with some of the members of our group and dealing with the passing family. But Lord, we lift up all these concerns to you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Homework. Did everybody do it? I bet they did. Everybody still. You forgot it.
Daniel.
Seven.
Oh,
Thirteen and fourteen.
What did you come up with?
Well, this is the throne room. Daniel sees Jesus Christ coming to the Ancient of Days, which is God the Father, the Triune God.
Okay.
And he's seeing his coronation, becoming king.
All right. Okay. So you see your Messiah there in the throne room, you say? Okay.
Yes.
Before the Ancient of Days, which would be the Father. Okay. Anybody else want to add to that?
I thought this was at the end of days, about the time of the Great White Throne Judgment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it would have been the second coming.
Mm-hmm. Would be the second coming of our Messiah.
When he comes back to set up his millennium. No. At the end of the millennial reign,
of course. And the end of the millennial reign is when we will be blessed with living here in the new city, Jerusalem. In Revelation 21, I believe, it says that there will be no need for a sun or a moon, because the light of the sun plus Yeshua plus the Father will be there. And I don't know if you've read Intramuros, My Dream of Heaven by Ethel Rebecca Springer. Did you ever read that? It's an old book. I came across it shortly after I was saved. I was there in the lab in NASA, and someone happened to make mention of it. As a matter of fact, a lady brought a copy of it in, and it was out of print then, and she let me read it, and I was just so overwhelmed with joy in reading that book. And so I got in touch with looked all over for it. Now, of course, obviously, it would have been out of print for a number of years. And And so I got in touch with book searchers in Oregon, and they said, yes, we have a copy that we will make copies of for you. And of course, all it was copying off of a copy machine, you know, and then stapling together, which was fine. I took a dozen of them, and they went like wildfire. And as a matter of fact, mine too. So, but now I see that it's back in print. I think that you can get it.
What's the author?
Rebecca Springer, My Dream of Heaven, Intramuros, My Dream of Heaven. Intramuros. It's Latin, I don't know how really to spell it. My Dream of Heaven by Rebecca Springer. Mm-hmm. It's quite a long book. It's not that thick. I think it was maybe 100 pages or less, you know. Very easy reading. And I think it was written back in the 1800s. And it's about Rebecca Springer, who took ill, and she was bedridden, and then she expired. She died, and she was carried off into paradise or heavenly places, and then she was revived. Came back, and she revived, and she brought all that back with her, and some of the things that she said she saw would just make me want, I want to go right now, right now, I don't want to wait, you know, but if you ever have an opportunity to read it, please do. I think it'll bless your hearts. And who else wants to attribute to Daniel 7, 13 and 14? Anybody else have any thing that you see in it? No more? Okay, well, next week's I have just two more. And then comes the long, hard homework. Reports. You know, 1,000-word reports. And everybody likes that. Okay, Daniel 9, 24 through, nobody ever believes me. 9, 24 through 26. They all just look at, well, we'll just wait till he finishes. Daniel 9, 24 through 26. And of course, you know, Messiah was to be given and will be given glory and everlasting dominion over all the nations at that time. That's in Daniel, of course, in this week's homework. And they're really looking forward to that, you know. Throwing, if I have a crown, throw it at his feet, you know, it belongs to you, you know. I just really want to be able to just spend all eternity with him and see his glory. And I told you about the, this was in 67 too, when I was translated, I told you about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no,
huh?
No, yeah, I told you. We don't know, we probably do.
Well, I hadn't been saved that long, and I just had to attend a church, you know, and I had to have a Bible. I got a Bible. Now I have to have a church. And so I went to this one church. It was called Phillips Temple there in L.A. And it was situated in such a way that you had you had the pulpit here, and then you had side seats here, sad seats here, and all the rest were here, facing the pulpit there. The preacher stood there with himself. And so I was sitting right here, facing the main auditorium. So you had to turn to the side to see. So anyway, I listened to the sermon, if that's what you want to call it. And so after, they had, it was a Methodist church, I believe, and they had a thing they called opening the doors of the church, come and join, you know. So that was the invitation. So we all had to stand, and I didn't know any songs that they were singing, but this one song that they sang was "The Best of Your Service." Have you ever heard of it? "Best of Your Service." You don't want to hear me sing anyway. But anyway, in there, it talks about the Lord taking your sword and your shield and placing the golden crown on your head. Well, I was sitting, standing there, and they were singing, and all of a sudden, I was taken out of my body, just completely taken out. And of course, to everybody there, I was still standing. But I was taken out, and I was put into a corridor of light. A light that you would not see here on earth, a pure light, very cool and comfortable with light. And way out there, I saw this figure coming toward me, and it wasn't walking or running, it was just moving toward me, and came all the way up. And I recognized who it was. It was my Messiah. It was Yeshua. And I couldn't tell you what he looked like today for nothing. All that had been taken away for obvious reasons, I guess. But anyway, to him, not me, but he was just beautiful, beautiful, beyond, oh, just beautiful. Anyway, I had a sword and a shield in my hand, and he reached out. I don't know how he did it. He's God, he does things. I had a sword and a shield, and he took the sword and shield from my hand, and at the very same time, he placed a golden crown on my head. And once that crown hit my head, back in my body I came. And I was crying beyond belief. Couldn't stop but feverishly crying. And people had turned around and started looking at me. What happened, you know? And I didn't care. I had been in the very presence of the Lord. And I don't know why he allowed that to happen to me. But I certainly am grateful for that. But to have seen him and his perfect in every respect. He was just beautiful. And I'm looking forward to seeing him again in that way. You know, just, Anyway, I had that to happen, and that was in 1967, and right after he saved me from damnation. So anyway, next week, that's what you got. Let's go to we have been studying Yahweh and Yahshua, and we've been studying El and Elohim and Adonai and those names, okay. Our next a challenge, it's not a challenge at all, it's a blessing to be able to study, is the name Jehovah. I have on the board here Jehovah, and I also have a breakdown. It's called the Tetragrammaton, Jehovah and Elohim both mean Lord. That's what it means. Now the reason for this is because of the fact that when Moses gave the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments stated that you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And because of that, the rabbis felt that if they spoke the name of the Lord, that it would actually be taking the Lord's name in vain. And so they came up with this, Jehovah. Okay, and of course in our alphabet there are no vowels, A, I, or U. Okay, and so we came up with, what is this? What this is here. Yahweh or Jehovah, which means Lord, and I am. And that's what we're going to study tonight. And then here you have Yahweh, and which you have Hava, okay, which means to be in Hebrew. Okay, but you have the verb, okay, which is Chave. Same thing, just a C added, which means to live. To live. And Jehovah actually means self-existing one. Self-existing one. He is existence. He is the one that said, let there be. And there was. Isn't that marvelous? Let there be in your lives. And it was, because the same thing happened to me. I went to him in desperation through the sinner's prayer, and I said, let there be, and it was. And he saved me the same as he saved you. Okay, but we had to, within our hearts, make a determinant counsel to seek him for help. And that's when we said, help. Remember what King David said? He said, create in me what?
A clean heart.
A clean heart. So he is the creator. He speaks, things happen, you see. And that's the thing that I like about it. He is a self-existing one. We go back to Deuteronomy. No, we can turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 3. I think it's chapter 3. If you're not, don't hold me to it, but I'm sure that it's Deuteronomy 3 or 4. I don't know. I think I got one in my Bible here. Oh, yeah. It is, and starting with verse 1, it says, or is it Deuteronomy chapter 3? No. Mm-hmm. There's a 4. No. Okay.
What are you looking for? The Lord is our God.
I'm way ahead of myself. Exodus chapter 3. I know that it has to be for me. Here we are right here. The self-existing one. You see? And here we see the self-existing one in another form, you see, in the form of a burning bush. And this bush, actually, and when we look at it there, it says, see, Moses, who was called by God, as we all are, and each of us are called for a specific purpose. He says, why? You know, I'm just here. I don't have a ministry or calling on my life. Of course you have. You know, do you know what your calling is? Do you know what ministry that God has given you? Judy? Mm-hmm. Okay. What might that be?
To encourage.
All right. Very good. Bill?
I think it's leading worship.
Okay, very good. Tim?
I'm an encourager also.
Craig?
I know my career, I was he meant for me to be a police officer. Exactly why, I don't know. I'm looking for that. There hasn't been a moment where I thought, this is why. Maybe it's an overall thing, a cumulative kind of thing, I don't know.
Maybe it's because of the fact that you are an Israelite and you are an encouragement to those that are around you that are not saved in that particular field. And then when you're dealing with criminals, if you want to call them that, people that have broken the law, okay, now you deal with that almost every day, I'm sure. And with the type of attitude that you have, the type of heart that you have, which is not the heart of the world, but it's the heart that God has given you, you're able to have mercy in a way and sympathy, but also maintain the dignity of your position as a policeman. And
I agree with that, but I think maybe that's what we all are kind of doing. It really, I think that's kind of just a standard.
It is a standard.
That's how we ought to be living our lives.
It is a standard.
And I think though we all have a gift, mm-hmm. and I have gifts. I know I'm good with my hands, mm-hmm. and there's things like that. But, mm-hmm. And I guess I've used that for Habitat for Humanity. I get to use it. We'll go down to Haiti. Mm-hmm. This week and constructing homes. Maybe that is it. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, Kim and I talked for, we spent 10 years building our house. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was God, you know, that seemed like a long time in fortress,
yeah.
but maybe that was God owning a skill, you know, so mm-hmm. that I could use it later on. So,
mm-hmm.
I give you that. But then when it comes to using your hands in law enforcement, those are kind of two offset things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm confused sometimes.
Yeah, well. It's interesting because that brings in, we're on the same, each class is on the same, studying the same right now, Jehovah. And Sunday, when we started, it brought in, no, it was on Wednesday week, brought in one of the ladies in our Wednesday night class. Said, you know, where do we draw the line? But you were talking about the ministry all around us, because we were called in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you're not preaching it verbally, you live it, and that is a preaching or declaring. Preach means to declare. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that you are the, you know, and you know all about that. And you know what comes after that. You know, we are to be in the world, but we're not of it. And as a matter of fact, I drew up a, if you'd like to have a copy of it, I'll make a copy for you, or Kim can, somebody can. And, here it is, here is Separation of the Believer. And the ultimate division of people before God is between those who are in Messiah and those who are not. Okay? And believers must not be involuntary partnership or an intimate association with unbelievers. And that's what the word is telling us. For such a relationship can corrupt the relationship with Messiah. And then I put in references, see the lifestyle of Solomon, King Solomon. As you know, he had 300 wives and 700 concubines? Ooh, he was asking for a headache. Mm-hmm. But from the very beginning, it said that you're supposed to separate yourselves. separate yourselves. You're not to intermingle. In other words, you're not to marry a non-believer and so forth and so on according to the word. And anyway, that's what that's all about. And we're going back to the word. Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro in the backside of Horeb on Mount Sinai. And the most amazing thing happened. While he was there, he saw a bush that was burning, but it was strange about that bush, it was not being consumed. Now that within itself is a sermon of his own, because God's love is never consumed. His mercy and his grace is never consumed. But the bush was not being consumed, and so he decided, well, wait a minute. I'm going to go over and I'm going to check this bush out. I'm going to find out what's going on. And as he approached, what happened? When he approached the bush, something happened.
God told him to take his shoes
off. He said, take your shoes off your feet. Why? Because you're standing on holy ground. And what was he telling Moses at that time? This was Jehovah. What was he telling Moses?
Not to bring the shoes, which is the world, into there. So,
that's right. Do not bring the world into the presence of God. And surely, that is the presence of God there. Don't bring the world into the presence of God. Okay, because God is holy, and he says, God is holy. Be ye also holy. Okay? Be holy for I am holy. But anyway, then, and then he goes on in verse 14, I believe it is, and God said to Moses, because you want to know who he was, he says, I am that I am. And he said, well, you know, what kind of a name is that? He said, just tell the people, I am sent you. In other words, I am. I'm all of it. I'm it. You know, and he says, I'm the only God. I know of no others. In the book of Isaiah. Okay, he says, I know of no other. I'm it. You know, and I'd often wonder, well, where did God come from? Well, he didn't. God has always been. And that's a mind blower, you know. And when I go to see him, I'm going to, like a child, you know, just like my children, they had one word. Why? Well, because of, well, why? And it was just one question after another, after another, after another. And that's exactly the way I want to be before the Father and the Son. Why? I don't understand. Why? And why did you place this star here? And why did, and you know, it's an amazing thing, the self-existent one. He created all the billions. Have you seen this what is his name? Louis Giglio?
Yeah.
Amazing. Louis Giglio. And he takes us out into the expanse of the universe, and he brings forth various planetary systems to look at through NASA's telescope. And here, the point of a pin, there's one out there. We're going to get into studying here, Joe. But I just want to bring this out. There is Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse is the name of it. And our sun dwarfs our planet, Earth, and makes it look like that. But Betelgeuse, to our sun, makes the sun, our sun, not even show up on this. That's just how big this planetary system is, this satellite, or whatever you want to call it. And he created all of that. Jehovah did. All he did was have to speak, and it was there. But there was a reason for it. What's the reason for this? I don't know. What's the reason for the rest of them? I don't know. But he spoke it, it came to pass. Now, another thing to, and he tells you this, in your word, he tells you that everything out there has a name. He named them all. And there are trillions of zillions and zillions and zillions and zillions upon zillions of planetary systems out there, and he gave them all names. That's our Jehovah. That's the one we're worshiping. So he is a self-existing one. He told Moses, you tell them that I am that I am. I've heard their prayers. He says, well, why did it take you for 430 years? And then he said, well, I tell you, why don't you read Romans chapter 9 and get your answer from that. Don't challenge God. He knows what he's doing. He has a reason for everything. Amen? Yes, he does. Okay, so you're going to find that Jehovah occurs 6,823 times in the Old Testament, starting with Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. And that's in one of your lines there. It may not be in a big spot on your sheet. In Revelation, I think it's 2 and 4. But in Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings, use Jehovah almost exclusively. Almost exclusively. Why? Because in these books, you will find where he is a self-existing one. Okay, you remember now Moses in fighting, the Israelites were fighting who it was now, and they had them. He held his hands up, and as long as his hands were held up, they were winning. And then he weakened and the hands came down, and they in turn were defeating the Israelites. And so two men that were with Moses on the mountaintop got a stone, put it under him, and one held one hand up and the other one held the other arm up, and they prevailed all day long. And I forget who it was. You know who it was?
Aaron
was one. Mm-hmm. But in Jehovah, you have a lot of attachments. And before we get to the attachments, we're going to look at some scriptures, and I want each of you to read one of them. Who wants to read Daniel 9 and 14?
Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doth, for we obey not his voice.
Okay. All right. What attribute do you see God having there?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. Exactly. God is righteousness. And you know what the word says about our righteousness? He says, all men's righteousness is as well laundered sheets.
Yeah, it
it's rags, no. Dirty rags.
Oh, I got it wrong.
How would you build?
All men's righteousness is as filthy rags, but the attribute of God, our righteousness is through Yeshua. He is the righteous one. That's what our righteousness is of, okay, is of the Messiah. The next one would be Psalms 11, verse 7. Who wants to read that?
Oh, well.
Okay.
For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, his countenance upholds the upright.
Okay. What's the attribute? His attribute there?
Righteousness
again.
Righteous.
Yes. For the righteous Lord, you see what I mean? He is righteous, not we, you see. And he loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. In our, where do we get ours from?
It's imputed on us from Jesus Christ.
Okay. And who helps us to develop that?
The Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. He is the one that helps us with that. Okay, the next scripture. Leviticus 19, verse 2. Takes us back to the Pentateuch. Who wants to go with that one?
19
verse 2.
And speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy.
What's his attribute?
Holiness.
Holiness. Okay, righteousness, and now we see holiness. Okay, we want to go to Habakkuk 1 and 2.
Can I ask you a question?
You bet.
These, where it says God and these different ones are reading, are they all the same root words? Is that what we're...
The one?
Are they all the same root word for Jehovah?
Yes.
The ones, mm-hmm. But yet they mean righteousness and mean holiness?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I never could find Habakkuk in my Bible.
Page 1138.
I just had a hard time finding Habakkuk. And yet I'm in it all the time. Habakkuk 1:12.
Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction.
Okay. Attribute?
Everlasting.
Okay.
And holy.
Everlasting and holy. Okay. And if you notice, in 12 you have two. O Lord, that would be O Jehovah, my Elohim. Jehovah, my Elohim. He is from everlasting to everlasting. You know, and of course, I always think a little foolishly, but I had been mentioned, I think, in this class before, probably a little while back, but it has always stumbled me. Why now? After all the, I mean, he's been around forever. Forever. And then all of a sudden, now he has sons and daughters. What was before? You see? You understand? It, of course, you know, you have the angelic population, which is innumerable. And you have other, when you go to the Book of Revelations, you find other creatures and things like that. But why us now? Why not trillions and trillions of eternities past? But he waited until now. And then, once this is over, we have a full eternity facing us. I mean, that's beyond my comprehension. We never die. We're always in existence. We never have to worry about a toothache or a tear or a bellyache or taxes. But you understand what I'm saying? I mean, he waited until now to have us, the most precious creation that he has ever made, which is us. And he waited all this time until now. And I appreciate that of him. I'm glad he didn't think of us. Okay, Deuteronomy 6:4. I know that sounds a little foolish, but four and five.
I would read it.
Mm-hmm.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, hear Israel. Adonai our God, Adonai is one. And you are to love Adonai your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your resources.
Do you hear what she
That's
was
the
reading?
Shema, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Shema. Uh-huh. Shema. What does that mean?
Spiritual hearing.
Exactly. Hearing with your spiritual ears. Shema Israel. And the same thing is being said to us today. Shema Israel. In other words, we are the Israelites. And he's, hear, O Israel. Hear. Okay. Now, that goes and walks with me. It walks hand in hand with Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews 3, verse 15, Hebrews 4, verse 7. Those three. Okay.
Can you say that
again? Yeah, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 15. Uh-huh. Hebrews 4, verse 7.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you want to turn to that? Okay, you see what the writer of Hebrews is saying here? He's saying, Shema Israel, Shema. What are we listening for? He says here, today, if you will, Shema, or hear his voice. Verse 8 says, well, don't harden your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation. In the wilderness, when your fathers were tempted and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Okay? Now look at what he says in verse 15. Somebody read that.
Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. That's what this version is.
Mm-hmm. As in the provocation. You see? So you have confirmation there, okay? What is he saying? Shema Israel. Hear. Hear what? Well, he speaks to you today. Today. Okay? Why today? Well, because yesterday's past. What about tomorrow, Kim?
Not here yet.
It's not here yet. It may not be guaranteed to us. So it's always present now. Okay, look at chapter 4, verse 7. Somebody read that?
Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Harden not your heart. You'll also find that in Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2 and 4, okay? But three times here in the book of Hebrews, he says the same thing that was said here that she read. Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel. Okay? The Lord is one. The Lord is one. He is the self-existing one. He is what? He is Jehovah. But his name is Yahweh. Yahweh. And we're not using it in a derogatory way. We're not, he says, in the law, he says, don't use the Lord's name in vain. We're not. But you see, the Hebrews at that time, the rabbis, thought that even if you said the name, it was wrong. And so that's why they came up with Jehovah. And like I say, there are several attachments to Jehovah. And those attachments we're going to look at, and you even have them in your syllabus. Okay, let's go here then to one that I'm sure that you are familiar with. We got plenty of time, yes. We got 2 hours to go. All right. The first one is, everyone knows, Jehovah Jireh. Mm-hmm. Jehovah Jireh. Okay. Which means God will provide. Now, how did he come up with that?
No.
When Genesis 22:14.
Abraham needed a lamb to be sacrificed.
All right.
And they found a ram in the bush.
Yeah. But preceding that, Jehovah came to
sacrifice.
Yeah, your son, your only son. And he had 2 sons, but one was a promise, and one was of the world, and that was, of course, the reason why he says your son, your only son. And so he told him where he wanted him to go, and it doesn't say that in the word, but. He added, he said that he followed directives of the Lord. And they set out, 2 servants with them. And we got to a point, and Abraham looked up and he saw the spot that he was supposed to go to. And he told his servants, he says, abide here, stay here. My son and I go yonder to sacrifice.
And then we will come back.
What faith? He knew that even if he had sacrificed his son, God was able to raise him up again because he made promise to Abraham. He made a promise to your son, your seed, that all nations will be blessed. And he believed in God and was counted to him for righteousness. Oh my, what strong faith that took, because he took him up there, and even Isaac says, hey Dad, little Dad, wake up. Here's the fire, and here's the wood. Dad, but I don't see no sacrifice. I don't see no lamb or anything. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And he did. You know, and he tested the strength of his faith. Oh my. And how many times has God tested our faith? And have we failed him? Or have we stood on tall and straight with the things that he has tested us with? And only you can answer that, you see. I know that I weakened a great deal. It hadn't been for Kim and Craig and a few others. And I would have probably faltered because I had diabetes. And I let it go for so long that they were ready to take my... I had one doctor say, your leg has to come off and has to come off today. And I sat there on the table, and of course, Shannon and Sue was with me when he said that. I won't tell you the doctor's name. And I sat there on the table, and then Shannon says, well, is there another way? He said, there is no other way. His leg is gone. His leg is totally gone. And only my foot was diseased. And I said under my breath, you're not going to take my leg off. You want to take a leg, take your own off. Mm-hmm. And we left. That was 4 years ago. My leg is just as healthy today as before that happened. Only because of the fact that I maintained the fact that I was just not going to give up. And they prayed, and other people prayed. And there is power in prayer. Don't ever think there is not. There is definite power in prayer. Going to the Savior with your request. Not just for yourself, but for others. In Romans chapter 6, and I brought this up a number of times before, but I love holding on to it. Starting with verse 3, what does he say?
Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ?
Oh, chapter 5. I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 3.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Okay, let's start with this. Number 1 is tribulation. Okay, number 2.
Patience.
Tribulation works patience. Number 3.
Experience.
Patience works experience. Okay, and number 4 is?
Hope.
Is hope. You see that? You see that? There it is right there. Power in prayer. Tribulation in prayer. A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm gonna pray for patience. Okay. Tribulation is good, give it to you. But they say that a storm cloud never lasts long. There's always a silver lining. But listen, tribulation does work. Patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's what the scriptures say. Now listen. When you look at that, and you look at the scriptures that we're dealing with here, you'll see one thing. A lot of people see one thing. and that is this. I. Tribulation works patience, patience experience, oh, okay, I. But the scriptures say, no, not I, but them, because this happens to you, what's it mean? Well, the tribulation that you're going through, Lenny, I know that you're going through a trial. But let me tell you, in that trial, you have to be patient on that. I know you have to be. Because I went through it. And I went through it, and listen, I had that experience. I know what it has done for me, and it gave me hope. And the same thing will apply to you. And so you take your tribulation and your patience and your experience, and you give the person next door that is in pain and suffering and agony, and you give them hope. You see, it's no more I, but it's them. And that's what the scriptures are calling for. Jehovah gave what? He gave salvation to what? Us. Right? Okay. But I told you before, I've told you before, the Sea of Galilee, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What are you going to tell them? You're going to tell them the same thing that was told to you. And because of that, you can live. And everything can live in you. The Sea of Galilee is teeming. Throw your net on the other side of the boat. Three boats filled to the brink, a point where it was almost ready to sink. That's how many fish they brought in after being out there all night. And Peter with his chewing on his foot. Well, we were out there all night, Lord. And we caught nothing. Didn't I tell you, throw your net on the other side of the boat? Do it. And they brought up all those fish. What about this? This go. Everything goes in.
Nothing comes out.
Nothing comes out. Freely you have received, freely give. You see what I mean? Freely you have received, freely give. Simple as that. Jehovah, what? Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah God. Jireh. God will provide. He'll provide everything that we need. Everything. Just sometimes in your moments of quiet and without the dogs barking and things. And just think all the way back. How many mistakes have I made? Oh my. I have made so many. But, because of Jehovah Jireh, He brought me out of those things. And He brought me up to the point where I am now. The doctor looked at my foot. And he said, well, I think you got a little problem there. A little problem, but with the doctor that I have, to him was just a little problem because he was not only a doctor, but also a Jew, and also he worked by faith. He is saved. Dr. Parmenter. Dr. Parman. and we are the biggest buddies, but through his work, their prayers, the prayers of others, I stand on both feet. Well, I've had part of them removed, but I still got my feet, and I definitely have my leg, you see.
I don't need toes that bad anyway.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I don't need toes. Especially the one next to my big toe. Yeah. It was just hanging out there, you know. And so, but I lost it. I lost it on the honeymoon trip. It was, I rubbed it raw and walking up and down the beach and didn't even know it. And I was walking around the kitchen there in the condo down there, and there was blood on the floor. And my wife said, uh-oh, we got a problem. And she looked, and there it was. It was a big blister, blood blister under my toe. And because of a lack of blood flow at that time, it just wouldn't heal, so he had to remove it. And but then the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, provided me with what they call the veins that come around, collateral veins. And now I have good circulation. Amen. And that's the Lord. That's the Lord. I'm sorry. I went over about 3 minutes. Don't kill me. Please.
Can I ask you something, Rabbi? Do you have a minute to just give us a word on what you think about Egypt? And especially today, we've gone all day, he's going to quit, and he didn't quit. Do you have a word?
Oh, I... I don't know. Kathy is just all up in arms about it and everything. And I told her, I said, well, Kathy, honey, rejoice. Rejoice in what you're seeing. Oh, I can't stand it. Oh, my God. That's rejoicing, which is why I can't rejoice. How can you rejoice in that? I said, because the word says that these things must come to pass. And know that the end is near, even at the door. You're looking for salvation, yes. But you don't want it to come. You see what I mean?
Well, she doesn't want to see what's going to happen before, you know.
Right.
You can see that.
Yeah.
But you look at that many countries in that area, all of a sudden, that's God's plan.
Overnight.
I mean, yeah, look at that. I mean, look at that. It's not just one country and just one small country. You know, so many that, and all of a sudden, that's God's plan.
And it's surrounding
Israel. Oh, yeah. That's God's plan.
I have heard on TV that Gaddafi might be in trouble. There's a few protests starting there. And these leaders that you think...
That man's nuts anyway.
Yeah, but you think this fall apart, you think 30 years will be all right. But that the different governments that have just been there for a while, all of a sudden they're falling. Sort of like the Soviet Union did. It just...
Yeah, Muammar Gaddafi, he's pretty much out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just kind of watching to see, because you know, the people, I think, they wouldn't mind a secular government, but you know, I don't think they'll go that way. I think we're,
oh, know, no,
it'll
no,
start to migrate towards a, you know, Islamic rule, and I think we'll see that without a doubt.
Probably overnight, yeah.
Am I boring everybody? Excuse me?
Just like a random.
Yes, I am. I'm boring everyone.
No. Your testimonies.
Thanks for coming out and listening to me beat my gums. Next week you have your homework, and you want to hold Israel up in prayer. Although when they come to Israel, to conquer Israel, that's when you're going to see the Lord's intervention. He is the warrior. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. He fights our battles. And so I'm pretty excited about that, because of the fact that I know now that we, do you realize what time we are living in? Mm-hmm. That's exciting. If we could have been born 200 or 300 years ago or more, but he chose for us to be right here, right now. And we are seeing, I'm 76, and I saw in my bar mitzvah, I saw Israel become a state in 1948. And then there was a young man in Philadelphia, his name was David Green, who went over and became the first premier and changed his name from David Green to David Ben-Gurion. David, the son of a young lion cub. That's what it means. Yeah. We saw that. I was asking Kathy last night, I said, do you remember, Kathy, do you remember the Henry J? What's that? Well, what about the Kaiser and the Frazier automobiles?
No, the Henry J, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, no? I said, my. Do you realize that there was a television company that made televisions by the name of Muntz, M-U-N-T-Z? I says, no. Well, they also made an automobile called the Muntz. And it was way, way ahead of its time. And so it didn't sell. And I remember all that, you see. I saw all that happening. I saw God's intervention in the thing about that book. Craig said, yeah, this is God's. See God in the works. The 1967 war where Israel defeated Egypt in that battle. Remember that? 1967. And how they defeated them was through the word. They were going through the Talmud, and they came across the name of the old Roman road. It had been out for many, many, many years. And they discovered that through the word. And they took the old Roman road, came around, and defeated the Egyptians. Who could have told them that? Who's going to pray us out? Thank God. Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Well, Father, Adonai, thank you so much for this anointed teaching you've blessed to have. And I ask you to bring us all back next week. And pray for Ken and Craig when they go to Haiti and everyone that's going to be with them. I ask you, Lord, to go ahead of them and make provision. And may they see miracles everywhere they go and see where your hand has been. And you, Corey and Mandy, as they're in Michigan, and help them through this funeral and bring them home safe. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful class.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, what did you say you were
leaving? We prayed for you guys.
See, I got some cash to work with.